This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Gold prices plunge.
Make it a working lunch. Listen to the Marketplace Midday Update podcast for the day's top business headlines. Subscribe on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with the Global Perspective on Business and Economics. China said today that its economic growth came in lower than expected last quarter, 7.7%, compared with an expectation of 8%. India said today that its inflation has fallen to a 40-month low. The question is, do either or both of these things help explain a 10% drop in the price of gold since Friday? Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
After a dazzling rise to $1,900 an ounce, the yellow metal has clearly lost its luster. The price of bullion has slumped by 10% since the end of last week. Metals analyst Rupert Nathan says speculators are scrambling to cash in their chips.
That's an inevitable outcome of something that it's had a very solid rise. A lot of this money that's got into gold on the way up is now coming out.
Gold was driven up by fears that money printing by central banks would fuel a big burst of global inflation, but China's slowing growth rate suggests otherwise. A falling price of gold might suggest those inflationary fears are abating.
Perhaps, just perhaps, things are not as bad as some would have us believe.
But while he thinks the price of bullion could have further to fall, he doesn't believe it'll fall through the floor. Japan's just embarked on a major round of money printing, and there's enough political tension over North Korea to underpin bullion as the ultimate safe haven. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Today is the deadline for companies that make products for Walmart to let the retail giant know exactly which factories they work with. That's after a fire last year at a clothing factory that was making Walmart products in Bangladesh killed more than 100 people. Shannon Mullen reports.
Walmart says it never knew its products were being made at the factory that burned down. Now the company says it's going to cut ties with suppliers who use unauthorized factories. And the retail giant's donating $1.6 million to a new safety academy for factory managers in Bangladesh.
Even though this is not revolutionary, it's indeed, I think, a signal that Walmart is trying to adopt a more progressive view on sustainability.
Edgar Blanco studies supply chain management at MIT. He thinks big companies should actively hunt for abuses in the farthest reaches of their supply chains. He says as the world's largest retailer, Walmart could set a new standard. But at the Institute for Global Labor and Human Rights, Director Charles Kernighan isn't sure.
You don't want to be a downer and stuff like this, but we just have not seen Walmart take the lead ever. Not on wages, not on the right to organize, not on health and safety. But we can hope that they actually do make a serious commitment and that they keep at it.
Walmart told us in a statement that it knows continued engagement is critical. I'm Shannon Mullen for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are down in global trading this morning, down 1.5% in Tokyo, 1% lower right now in London, Frankfurt, and Paris. Here in this country, news in this morning that Dish Network is making a $25 billion bid for Sprint Nextel to compete with an offer from Japan's SoftBank. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow fell by about a point to finish at 14,865.
Get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
Now we're going to take a little field trip over to a business in New York City that is expanding fast.
Google has doubled in size in New York since I joined in
2008. Which was in 2008, right.
Yeah.
And you've got now 3,000 people here?
Something like that, yeah. 3,000, 3,200, something like that, yeah.
Google's New York City headquarters is near the old meatpacking district of Manhattan. It feels part warehouse, part office building, and part elementary school. My guide is Google's chief information officer, Ben Fried, who spent years working at Morgan Stanley before joining Google. He says the cultural difference between Wall Street and what's called Silicon Alley is enormous, and that is the point.
Last time I checked, between the two buildings, the two major buildings that we occupy in New York, there are five cafeterias.
And these are famous. I mean, people know this about Google, that you guys have these amazing cafeterias for all the employees. And they get, it's all free, right? They don't,
it's all,
part of
it's
the
all
benefit
free.
Package, just constant meals.
It's all free, three meals a day.
And what do you have in here? I mean, the chefs are,
so
are
it,
making stuff
it,
for
it
you?
It varies from day to day, and the cafeterias have different themes. This one, you know, kind of has its own style. You know, there's chefs here and they produce a certain style of stuff. There's another there's two cafeterias on 8 that have their own, each has their own kind of styles or sets of styles. There's one that's kind of the one on 8 has, it's called the truck pit. One of them is called the truck pit, and it actually has a truck in there that we, like a vending truck, a food truck that you can get food out of, and it, you
do
know,
people gain the Google
like
15 when they start working here?
So the story I was told when I was interviewing for Google, I was told, oh, yeah, there's this Google 15 or Google 10 that you get when you join. And then, you know, there's this orientation on your first day of work. And one of the things that the guy said is leading the orientation session was, you know, actually, I found it to be more the Google 25. And I thought, you know, for me, this is the difference between a personal trainer and a cardiologist. So I need to watch out.
One of the reasons that we know that Google does this, and it's unusual in a lot of businesses, is that you have to compete for talent in a big way that others don't. Do you have to do that in New York the same way that they do out in Silicon Valley, where everybody else is already located to?
Absolutely. I mean, I think the war for technology talent is, what a horrible way of phrasing it. I think that kind of the quest for technology talent is really a global one. And great engineers, great product managers, great technologists, great salespeople are in short supply. And creating a workplace that's appealing to them is really, really important.
That's part of my conversation with Google's chief information officer, Ben Fried, at the company's New York headquarters. And finally, Kraft is giving the Kool-Aid mascot a makeover today. The Kool-Aid Man, which is a glass pitcher with a face on it filled with red liquid. I'm sure you've seen it. It'll take on the personality now of a celebrity trying to prove he's just a normal guy. In one of the new ads, he says his life isn't all cherry and sweetness. He puts his pants on one leg at a time, except his pants come in 22 different flavors. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.